It is exhilarating to see everybody tonight. I am absolutely stoked, as the younger people would say, to be here with all of you and looking over the audience and seeing new faces, but also seeing familiar faces too. And praise God for you all being here tonight. Last night there was God rejoicing himself over Albert's being baptized into Christ, going down into the watery grave and rising to walk in the newness of life. The reason why I say that God himself was rejoicing, because if you were to look at the scriptures, it says there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. And if God is in the presence of the angels, then God himself is rejoicing. And with that prodigal son's father who came, when the son came back home, he ran to meet him. He hugged him and he kissed him. And if that father in that particular parable is representing God, then God himself rejoices. The woman who swept the house by candlelight, she rejoiced when she got the coin. The shepherd, when he got the sheep, he rejoiced. And so God himself rejoiced. And that is, wow. You just have to say, wow, when we can make God rejoice. And that is exactly what happened last night with that baptism, and I'm excited about being with you all this evening, and you rush. The singing is so good that we have to take our time with the good singing that we have because we are praising God and we are edifying one another. And the songs give me a chance to kind of get my grip and kind of get my perspective and get myself ready for the message. And again, Brother Shan, you to be able to do the song leading in addition to the task that you normally do with preparing and presenting the Word of God, we appreciate you so very much. We really, really do. And for you to just say, defer it to me and I'll do it, God bless you. God bless you for that. I've been having a wonderful time. You all are just endearing yourselves more and more and more to me. And as Shan said, it is more than just a friend of the congregation. You all are my brothers and my sisters. And in fact, you all are more brothers and sisters to me than my blood brothers and sisters, because if my blood brothers and sisters do not accept Christ, then they're going to miss the mark and they're going to miss the opportunity. But those who have confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then indeed we will live forever. And as I said, that you all are endearing yourselves even more so to me in times past. This has been a great time in the city of Port Lavaca, going to the schools and visiting members, encouraging them and being encouraged by them, and just getting to know my brothers and sisters better. That is good. And I don't know how, and I know that there are so-called mega churches where you have several thousand members. If I am a member of a congregation, I want to know everybody. I don't want to be on the conveyor belt at the end of service. You know, how you doing? 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 No, that's not how I do it. And some of you, if you notice, when I shake your hands, I don't let your hand go immediately. I'll hold your hand at least 10 more seconds. I don't count, but I'm thinking it's about 10 more seconds, because I want you to know that I'm not just doing a drive-by. You know, it's not a drive-by handshake, but I look at you and I want you to, and I want to validate you with that handshake and let you know that you are meaningful to me and that you have meaning in the kingdom. And that's why Jesus says that if anybody calls somebody raka, which means worthless, a sorry thing, then that person will be in danger of hell's fire. And there is, God don't make junk.
And that's why we have to spend time in and really validate one another. Story is told, and I'll get into this evening's lesson about this kid. He was at school one day, and as he was passing by, he dropped his books. And of course, some kids just laughed at him and made fun of him. And this kid who was a star athlete stopped and helped him pick up his books, pick up his papers. There was one paper the kid had dropped, and the other kid that helped him picked up the paper and handed it to him. The kid who dropped his books, he looked at the kid, and then he ran off. That same kid ended up being the valedictorian of his class. And he ended up giving the valedictorian speech. And in his speech, he recalled the day that he dropped his books and that how everybody laughed at him. And this one boy who was a star athlete didn't laugh at him, but stopped and helped him. And he said, he told the audience and that boy also that the paper that you handed me was a suicide note. I was planning on killing myself. But when you stopped and when you looked at me, and when you saw me, you changed my life. And that's what we have to do, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not just talking talk. I'm serious. There are people that are going to come to this congregation, and if you look at and you see them, it will change their very lives. And if the Port Lavaca Church of Christ sees people that other people ignore, you will see people will be the path to your door because you see them. And I may have told you this before, but my daughter's favorite movie is The Princess Diaries. And this particular girl, I've seen this thing about a dozen times. And I do not put on a crown when I sit down with my daughter and watch The Princess Diaries. But in the movie, the girl comes and she meets a little quirky friend, and she tells her quirky friend, "Someone sat on me again today." You know, you have to be mighty invisible for somebody to sit on you. And there are so many people that are in the world that just feel like they are so invisible. And so we do this with one another, and we come and we validate and we give meaning to one another, and we just love on one another and let you know that you have found the church that Jesus promised to build. And that's what we are presenting to you in this series of gospel sermons. I'm trying not to pause and have another song with you all, because tonight's lesson is not going to be as long as the other nights. In fact, what I've done, I took tomorrow's night's sermon and I'm going to do it tonight. I was just compelled to do tomorrow night's final sermon or farewell sermon or the last sermon. I was compelled to do it tonight. And I don't know, but I'm thinking that God is going to, in the final analysis, he's going to reveal why this sermon is to be done tonight. I'm not going to be presumptuous as to second guess God. You know, God did not whisper, say, "Freddie, do Sunday, Friday sermon Thursday." He didn't say that. But I was just moved and compelled to do that. And I'm going to give him the credit if there is an increase tonight. Let's sing one more song as we get things going. You don't need the songbook, y'all. No, don't need the songbook. You just can look at one another and we can sing this song together.
God hears us individually, and he hears us collectively. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Come by.
Again, it is good to be here with all of you tonight. And trust me, ladies and gentlemen, as I said, tonight's message is not going to be as long as the other night, because this is the message that I would have done tomorrow night. But I feel an urgency to do this message tonight. I dispelled something last night, because some believe that the reason why the Israelites were made to wander in the wilderness for the 40 years was because of what happened in Exodus 32 when Aaron made the golden calf and the people worshiped it. But that is not the reason why the people were made to wander in the wilderness for those 40 years. It was because of what happened in Numbers chapter 13. That when God sent the 40 men, and when Moses, per God's instruction, sent the 12 men to spy out the land for 40 days, and 10 of the 12 came back with an evil report, that God in Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 34, he told them, the same number of days you went to spy out the land, day for day, you're going to be in the wilderness for each year, or each day a year. And so the reason why they wandered in the wilderness for the 40 years was because of what happened in Numbers chapter 11. But I want to invite your attention, if you don't mind, this evening to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1. And I want to read a verse, and then after I read that particular verse, that I'm going to launch into this evening's discourse. You want to know the reason why I call it a discourse? A discourse is one person talks to another person. So if I talk to you, you got to talk back to me. And so you don't just sit up there and just look at me. And so when I talk to you, and if something applies to you, listen, you talk back to me. And so it is a discourse. And so in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse number 5, on this side, Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. Take your journey. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of that journey that we just talked about. We answered the question, why were the Israelites made to wander in the wilderness for those 40 years? And the answer is, because they did not believe God in Numbers chapter 13. All right, is this one on? This one is not on? All right, so let me put this one on, because I was sounding good to myself. All right, I got a green light that means go. All right. But the reason why, as I was saying, that the Israelites were made to wander in the wilderness for the 40 years was not because of Exodus 32, but because of Numbers chapter 11. The other thing that I want to dispel is this, ladies and gentlemen, is that what we often do, Brother Shan, is that we block this time off and we say, you know what, the Jews left Egypt and they wandered for 40 years. But that is not it. That is not it. If we were to look at it, Wayne, truly, it is not 40 years, but it is 440 years. How long had they been in Egypt? They had been in Egypt about 400 years. 400 years. And so after their liberation, yes, they did wander for 40 years, but it is 440 years. And at the end of 440 years, God had to tell him, it is time to go into the land. You've wandered around long enough, turn and go into the land. The thing that I don't understand, ladies and gentlemen, how it is after 440 years, the people did not have the tenacity to go into the land. God had to tell them, you've been going around long enough, go into the land. I like the way Stephen says it in Acts chapter 7. How that the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was yet in Mesopotamia,
and told him to get out of the land and come into the land that I will show thee. And then it says, and God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land and be entreated evil for 400 years. After that, after the which will I bring them out of that land. It is not 400, it is not 40 years, but it is 440 years, and yet the people don't know to go into the land. The title of this evening's message is this: Time Wasted, Time Lost. Time wasted, time lost. That is exactly what it is. Time wasted, time lost. What is it most of us don't feel that we don't have enough of, enough time? What is that all of us wish we can get more of, more time? What is it an individual regret? He regrets that he did not have enough time. And what I'm saying this evening, Keith, time wasted, time lost. There was a reason. I don't know the reason, Brother Shan, exactly why I'm compelled to do this message tonight and not tomorrow night. Maybe there is someone that needs to be nudged with the idea, time wasted is time lost. I want you to know, and I'm jumping ahead of myself in my message. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, time is the one thing that you cannot get back. You cannot get it back. We look at this thing correctly and make it as ugly as we can possibly make it. You know what? 40 years may be understandable that here it is, the people wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, but it has been 440 years. 440 years, and yet they still don't want to go into the land. Time wasted, time lost. What have they been doing the 40 years? They have been moaning. They have been groaning. They have been asking for deliverance. And when deliverance comes, they don't have the tenacity to go into the land. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. That here it is that when our deliverance comes, that here it is that what we have been waiting for, praying for, crying for, and it comes, and we do nothing about it. We do nothing about it. Time wasted. Time lost. Parents, look at your children. Look at your little ones. Because this thing happens in a blink of an eye. They go from your lap to walking and they are out of the doors. Time wasted. Time lost. You find a person on his or her dying bed. What are they thinking? Oh, if only I had more time. Time wasted. Time lost. All I'm saying tonight, ladies and gentlemen, time wasted. Time. I believe that God is very covetous of time. And the reason why I believe that God is covetous of time is because it is the first thing that God created. In the beginning. The beginning of what? Time. You could not have an earth if time was not created first. And so what you have in the beginning, and then you have then come at the end. And we better understand that in between time wasted, time lost. If I could, I would stand on a hilltop. I'd stand on the corner in Port Lavaca if I didn't get arrested. And everybody that passed by, time wasted, time lost. You know what I would do? I'd go to every delinquent member and stand outside his or her gate or the gate of that family that have stopped coming. And I'd shout over the fence, time wasted, time lost. Somebody who thinks that they have more time. There are some of us that we are so old, we're too old to even chew grease. Yet we're talking about, well, you know what? A little bit more time. You ain't got enough time. Not only are you standing near an empty grave, but you're on a banana peel and there's a big wind behind you. Time wasted. Time lost. Time is one of those things you cannot give,
but you can share. I can't give any of you. I cannot give you time. I cannot hand it to you and say, here, you have time. You have my time. No, I can share it with you. Time wasted. Time lost. Brother Shane is asking the question, why did I have these watches up here? Well, the fact of the matter is that this is a broken watch. It's a broken watch. And you want to know something about a broken watch? The only thing about a broken watch is right two times a day. That's the only thing you have about a broken watch. It is right twice a day. And isn't that the way that some of our children are? They think that if they accidentally get it right, you know what? It's right. Here it is, you bring a report card home and you got an F. Then you tell you tell your parents, it's a high F. Boy, it's still an F. Time wasted. Time lost. A broken watch is right twice a day. And it is not because of its volition. It's because it's broken. There are people that are standing out on the street. There are people that are just wasting time, and they think just because they're making money, they're getting things, they have a car, they have a house, they have these things. Boy, I got it going on. You're wasting time. The Bible says about this man that the ground of a certain man brought forth plenty. He says, what is it I will do? I will tear down my old barns and I'll build new barns. And then I will store up my goods in those barns and I will tell my soul, so you have much good stored up. Eat, drink, and be ready. But be merry. But that night, the Lord called out to him and said, you fool, this night your soul is required of you. What shall become of your soul? Time wasted, time lost. God is covetous of time. He really is. Because it is the thing that he created. He created it first, and you ain't getting it back. You're not getting it back. Job bemoaned in Job chapter 29. Job is an older guy now, but you find Job bemoaning. He says, oh, that I wish it were in the past days when my children were around my feet and my path was paved with butter. He said that when I went out into the place of concourse, the young men stood up, the old men put their hands on their mouths, and the princes of their tongues cleaved to the roof of their mouth. But now I'm old. The next chapter. And they that are younger than me, they hold me in derision. Time wasted. Time lost. You ain't getting it back. I don't understand it, ladies and gentlemen, how people can waste time, especially as far as their souls are concerned. I really don't understand it. I don't understand it at all. I can't comprehend it. And the reason why I can't comprehend it is because what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What happens if a man were to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Time wasted, time lost. 400 years. And what do the Jews do in the meantime? They cry, they moan, they complain about their hardship. They want the promise that was given to them, the promise of the land that God gave to made to Abraham. It is 440 years, and they should go into the land. And instead of going into the land, they're just wandering around in the wilderness. The only good thing about a broken watch, it is that it is right twice a day. It says it a little bit differently in Deuteronomy chapter 2. And in fact, other translations say it different than the King James Version. The King James Version says, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. A more modern translation says, you've been going in circles long enough. But isn't that the way it is with some individuals? They go around in circles. You remember that childhood song we used to learn a long time ago when we were little children? Especially those of us that went to school in the 60s. That little song, she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. You know? And the song, when she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. She'll be riding six white horses when she comes. She's still going around the mountain. But isn't that emblematic of our society, that we have a society of individuals that just simply just waste time, and we say what we want. If any of you in this room have ever prayed, Lord, if I'm doing anything wrong, show me. And when God shows you, tell him that ain't it. Now that I can't comprehend either. And he shows you. This is what you've been doing wrong. And then you say, no, that's not it. Because we want what we want. God is protective. He is covetous of time. So much time wasted. Time cannot be gotten back. And ladies and gentlemen, time cannot be earned. You can talk about Hezekiah, that's an exception, that ain't the rule. But you can't barter with God and ask him, give me 15 more years. Time cannot be earned, but time can be invested. Time wasted. Time lost. I find this very interesting, ladies and gentlemen, talking about time wasted, time lost. In the book of 2 Samuel, in 2 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible tells us how that David bore 5 sons in Hebron. That's chapter 3. In chapter 4, you have the situation that happened with Ish-bosheth, when Benani and Rechab kills him. In chapter 5, David is solidified as the king over all of Israel. In chapter 6, you have the breach of Uzzah. In chapter 7, David wants to build a temple for God, wants to build a house for God. But God tells David, you can't do it. And the reason why you can't do it, you got blood on your hand. However, that when you're sleeping in your grave, that I will raise up your seed after you, and he will sit on your throne. I will establish his kingdom forever. It ain't talking about Solomon. It's talking about Jesus. By the way, the reason why God raised Jesus from the grave was for Jesus to sit on David's throne. Acts chapter 2. So here it is, in 1st, 2nd Samuel chapter 8, David goes out and he conquers the surrounding nations. In 2nd Samuel chapter 9, David, in a moment of reflection, says, "There anybody left of the house of Saul to whom we may show kindness to for Jonathan's sake?" And that's the thing that happens with Mephibosheth. In 2nd Samuel chapter 10. It's where David goes out and the situation happens where these people humiliate David's soldiers. And then in chapter 11 is a situation, I got a point, that I'm going from chapter 3. In chapter 11 is when David finds occasion to have time to hook up with Bathsheba. You know the story. How it was that Bathsheba was taking a bath and David saw her. The Bible says it was the time that kings went out to war. David should have been at war, but here it is. He got his eyes on the honeys. Amen, lights. And the Bible said that Bathsheba was taking a bath. Now, I often say, I don't know why they call her Bathsheba. Maybe because she was taking a bath. Bathsheba. Chapter 12, Nathan comes to David and pronounces to David what's going to happen as a result of what happened with Uriah. You killed Uriah to have his wife. Now, this is my point. Time wasted, time lost. Chapter 3, David gets his sons in Hebron. It is not until chapter 13 do we find mention of David's sons once again. And guess what's happening? Nothing but a bunch of turmoil. Time wasted, time lost. Amnon has eyes for Tamar. Amnon molests Tamar. Absalom kills Amnon because Amnon molests Tamar. Amnon is exiled. He burns down Joab's fields to come back home. David brings him back home. Now Amnon tries to take the kingdom from David. Then Amnon himself gets killed. In chapter 18, David is over there in 18 and 33. Amnon is dead. And guess what David is doing? David is at Amnon's grave. Absalom, oh my God, Absalom, would to God I would have died for thee. Oh, my son Absalom. Time wasted, David. Time lost. You are busy being everybody's hero, but you're being your son's and your family's zero. Time wasted. Time lost. You're crying for Absalom, calling him your son 5 times in death, and yet you didn't treat him like your son, not a one time in life. Bible talks about Absalom, how arrogant he was. Absalom was beautiful from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. I know what that feels like. I'm just joking now. Arrogant. Absalom had everybody intoxicated by his beauty. Time wasted. Time lost. Time wasted. Time lost. I'm having a moment of reflection right now in my own mind, ladies and gentlemen, and the time of reflection is a time spending with my own children. One of the things that I love to do more than anything else is just spend time with them. I couldn't get enough time. Couldn't get enough time with them because I knew how fast that stuff was going to go by. And it went by so fast. Went by so fast. And it just happens in a flash. But that's the way life is. Life is but a vapor that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Time wasted, time lost. Jesus tells a parable as we bring this thing to a close. He tells a parable there in the book of Matthew chapter 22. And it is a parable, ladies and gentlemen, essentially of time. That there were men standing around in the market, and someone came to find people to go out and work. It was the third hour when the first people were sent out to work. Go into the vineyard, and I will pay you that which is right. And then they came back at the ninth hour. Then they came back at the 11th hour, and they sent them out into the vineyard to work. And at the end of the day, when everything was done, all of them came and everybody got paid the same thing. That's not the point of the parable that I want to really capitalize on. The point of the parable I want to capitalize on is the idea of the 11th hour. Do you know what the 11th hour really is? The 11th hour is right before the 12th hour. The 12th hour is the death of one day. It may even represent the idea of the death of opportunity. We are living, some of us, we are living in the 11th hour. This is the 11th hour. Time wasted. Time lost. It's the 11th hour for you. Not only is it the 11th hour, it is the 11th hour, the 59th minute, and the 59th second. And you're saying, you know what, I think I got more time. No, you don't. Time wasted, time lost. Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 being wise and 5 being foolish. Time wasted, time lost. What did the five foolish do the whole time that they were in the bridal chamber? I don't know what they were doing. The Bible doesn't say what they were doing. It doesn't say that they were just chilling and hanging out and kicking it. It doesn't say that. But when the word went out, the bridegroom cometh, they came to the 5 wise and begged them for oil for that from their lamps. And they said, we can't give you our oil, lest we not have enough. Go out and buy some. Time wasted, time lost. It was the 11th hour. And when they went out to get the oil, Wayne, they came back and the door was shut. And they began crying, open the door, open unto us. Too late. Those are the worst words that anybody could ever hear. Time wasted, time lost. I say it all the time, you kids, you play a dangerous game and you think, you know, I think we get deceived by technology. You're typing something on your computer and you type the wrong word and the computer corrects it automatically for you. That's not the way life is. You don't make bad decisions and then the computer just corrects it automatically for you. You're there on your phone and you're texting, and then, you know, you text, and then the computer will put the whole word in for you because your phone knows the word. Mine don't do that because I got a flip phone. Hey, I got a witness in there. Amen. Got one witness in it. Boy, it takes me 15 minutes to say hello. Amen to that. But I ain't giving it up, you know. I'm not giving up my flip phone. But you kids think that you know what? You can type in the wrong word and automatically it's going to correct. Time wasted. It doesn't work that way, time lost. The 11th hour. We had one last night who realized it was the 11th hour and did something about it. As somebody else tonight, the 11th hour is upon us. Time wasted. Time lost. What are you going to tell God in the day of the judgment? Oh, I thought I had more time. Time wasted. Time lost. Again, I don't know why I was compelled tonight to do tomorrow night's message. And I'll do tonight's message tomorrow. But there must have been a good reason. Maybe there is somebody who is on the brink of obedience and you needed to know time wasted is time lost. You're not getting it back. The Greeks said that opportunity was like a bald-headed naked runner. Once it passes by, ain't nothing to grab hold to. You ain't getting it back. And that's just how time is. You're not getting it back. And so remember now. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. What must I do, Anderson, to be saved? You got to believe in the Lord, repent of your sins, confess that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You got to be baptized to have your sins washed away. There are some groups that teach that baptism is not essential. Baptism is absolutely essential. It is not my perception, and it's not my opinion. It is what the Bible says. Because Peter says, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, that his few, that his eight souls were saved by water, he says, the like figure, whereunto doth now baptism also saves us. Not the putting away of filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is not a matter of, you know, it's not a matter of whether or not you can't do it. It's not for you to just totally understand and say, you know, I don't understand what God is doing with the water. The only thing that is required is my obedience. And God is going to do what he says he's going to do. And so baptism is what is absolutely required for one to be in Christ. And I ask the people who say that baptism is not important or essential, I ask them one fundamental question. How, according to the scriptures, how does one get into Christ? Oh, you got to have faith. Faith put you, show me. Well, I can't find it. It ain't there. That's why you can't find it. Well, no, confession put you into Christ. Show me. Well, Romans 10:9-10. That thou shalt believe the Lord Jesus, you know. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession made unto salvation. There it is. And I say, well, you know what? Is unto and into two different things? Yeah. What does the verse say? It doesn't say into. It says unto. For with the heart man believeth unto, and with the mouth confession is made into. Now, do you want me to show you how a man gets into Christ, where salvation is? Romans chapter 6, verse number 1, shall we say then, shall we continue sin, the grace may abound, God forbid, how that we that are dead to sin, living along therein, know you not that some of us baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as he was raised from the dead, so we shall also walk in the newness of life, for if we are planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. There it is. Baptism puts a person into Christ. Time wasted. Time lost. There is power in the blood. And nothing can wash away our sins but the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5. There are three that bear record on earth. The water, the blood, and the spirit. I hope that ain't heaven calling. Because time wasted is time lost. You might be in your 11th hour
and 59 minute and 59 second, you know. Instead of time wasted, time lost, it's time up, you know. So, but tonight is the night for you to come to the Lord. And those of us that are members of the body of Christ, and we have been wasting so much time with our families and so much time, and we haven't been committed to the Lord. Time wasted, time lost. A broken watch. This watch has 9:12. You know what? It'll be right at 9:12. Tomorrow morning, it'll be right at 9:12. But the rest of the time, it's wrong. I wouldn't want to have a religion that's only right on two points. Jesus is the Christ, you know, and I love God. What about everything else? You got to be right on everything. You got to be right on everything. 99.5 won't do. Got to be 100. Why don't we stand and sing? Brother Shannon is going to lead us in a song.